This is 5-on-3, center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome in to this week's edition of 5-on-3. We have my other two co-hosts. There's only two co-hosts for me, but my two co-hosts are both making their 5-on-3 debuts. This is a very exciting day, ladies and gents. I have Kurt Sippel on my left, Emma Leonardi on my right, and I'm so jazzed about this. I'm really jazzed.
Be jazzed.
I'm super jazzed. We're like 2 weeks away from real hockey starting. We have some preseason to talk about. But actually, before we get into the preseason, this is outside the local teams, but one thing we learned today was Panthers captain Alex Barkov underwent knee surgery this week. He hurt himself apparently in practice this week. There's no full timetable for his recovery, but he is feared to miss the entire 2025-26 season. So just wanted to say that because that is probably the biggest news in the NHL right now. And we wish him well. But we do have to talk about our local teams. We had Rangers-Islanders last night, and Islanders won that one 5-4. It got their first win of the preseason. But, you know, the Islanders and Rangers, they don't love each other, I think, is one way I'd put it.
I don't know
if I'd say that they love each other. But, you know, it's preseason, but it does feel good for the Islanders to get a win off of them because last season against the Rangers was quite bad. I was at multiple of those games, and they were all terrible.
Had to be fun.
I was at two of them with Lydia Perner, and Will Cooley scored in both of them. So it was quite a night. Both times, both being in the stands and in the press box. But hey, that's in the past. And now we're about 2 weeks away from the opener on October 9th. The Islanders will be in Pittsburgh. But let's start with this game last night. Guys, what did you think? Kurt, I'll start with you.
Well, I think the Islanders played a solid game. I think it's the hockey that Patrick Waugh has been trying to make them play the entirety of the year. Saw some good stuff from all the young guys that they're putting out there. I mean, giving up the goals in the beginning, it happens. It's preseason at the end of the day. You're trying to get right. But I think that the Islanders have a clear-cut direction now. I think that was their biggest issue as the time went on, especially under their old general manager, was the fact that they didn't really have a clear-cut direction.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even with the facial hair policy that we're seeing get revoked, the high-number jerseys that we saw get revoked as well, I mean,
it's all happening over in Elmont.
It is. UBS is hopefully making a little bit of a comeback, and Long Island Hockey could maybe make some kind of a comeback. As a person that enjoys the Rangers, I wouldn't say that I would love to watch the Islanders be good again, but why not? You never know.
There's still time for you. Emma, what did you think of this game last night?
So one thing that I always love to see in any sport is the ability to come back from a loss. I think teams like New York sports teams have problems with that all the time.
You could say that. Yes.
But it's really nice to see them come back. Obviously, it was 3-2 at the end of the first period, and it's again, then it was made 4-2 in the second period. So it's nice to see them make those three goals basically back to back to not even tie it, but to overcome that and win the game.
Let's see, a couple of things I'll highlight on the Rangers end first. One of their top prospects, Gabe Perreault, has been quite good. Scored in their first two preseason games against the Devils and against the Bruins the other night. That, I was reading a little bit about this earlier, raises a few questions with him. Kind of how to handle him, because there's been a lot of questions surrounding the Rangers as an organization about how to utilize the timeline of some of their younger guys, because we saw what happened with Kaapo Kakko, and there were questions about did they rush him too much, and he was the second overall pick in the draft in 2019. So it's, you know, that kind of high pick is one that a lot of the time when a franchise is really struggling, you see them come up quite quickly, like Matthew Schaefer with the Islanders. But, you know, we saw what happened with Kaapo Kakko. He went to Seattle and he's thriving there. He was not thriving in New York. And now they kind of have to handle Gabe Perreault. Do they give him a supporting role with the big league team and bring him up, have him start, have him be with the big leagues opening night, or do they send him back down to Hartford to give him? He is the star in Hartford they do that.
Well, Grace, I have to say one thing is that do you want him to be a supporting cast member on the Rangers, mm-hmm. or do you want him to be the star in Hartford?
Right.
Is it a waste of someone's talent to be the star of Hartford? It remains to really be seen, because it's very difficult in sports when it comes down to minor leagues. Saw it a lot. We can reference baseball this year. Well, it'd be the Mets and their pitching staffs.
Yeah.
Nolan McLean comes up, all those guys come up, and they're really good, but you don't know if you want to rush them up because a guy like Jonah Tong, who hasn't been as good, has been making mistakes and has been losing games, and they're being put in high-leverage situations. Not to say that he would be put in high-leverage situations immediately, but New York is a high-leverage market in general.
Yeah.
He's a very smart hockey player. We've been seeing this the entirety of the preseason. He's able to do the little things very right, and that's exactly why Sullivan really likes him, Rangers head coach. But I think it really depends on how they want to treat him. Because the Rangers, at the end of the day, there's a youth movement coming in, but there's still a lot of old heads that are on the ice daily.
Yeah.
And that might be a bit of an issue for the young guys to come in, because they might be expected to do a little bit more.
Yeah. I will say with the Rangers, like, last year was obviously a major disappointment from them, but Will Cooley is, I mean, we should really be confirming with Lydia Parner on this. I believe he's 23. So that's a young guy who's up right now, and he is one of their most important players if he performs like he did last year. Brett Berard is hanging around. He spent a lot of time with the team last year. That's a lot. There's a couple of other young guys as well. So you have to wonder, obviously, JT Miller, they just got back. Now he's their captain, and Vincent Trocheck has been on the team for a while. They have a couple of veterans, but they also have a couple of these young guys who hopefully, hopefully for Lydia Perner's sake and for the Rangers' sake, hopefully Will Cooley is a Ranger for a very long time. But you have to wonder, can the veterans there help them?
I think the veterans help lead.
Yeah.
But I also don't know how good it will be for the toxicity of the media, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't call the New York market toxic. I'd call it needing expectations fast.
Yes. And it also,
he was a high pick.
He was a high pick, and there's a certain... Well, actually, we can even reference football here, because
we're going all around.
We're taking a stop around all the sports. Jackson Dart, starting quarterback from the New York Giants this weekend, drafted in the first round. I would not say this is the same situation as Perreault, but there's, you know, some of the young guys are kind of expected to save the team, give them a jolt. I don't know if that's going to happen with Gabe Perreault, because they do have good players on the Rangers. There's something to be said about last year. The locker room was really toxic. And
they helped that clean house, but there's still guys that are still there.
Yes.
Zibanejad.
You'd have to.
I don't know how I feel about Mika still being there.
You have to hope that the locker room will be better next year, that they can get through some of these losses. But Emma, what do you see for this rain? What are your expectations? Let's just ask a general question here.
My expectations for the Rangers. The Rangers. I'm very interested to see. I feel like all of the goals were a good mix, and I'm strictly talking about the game last time. All of the goals were a good mix of, I feel like, newer guys and older guys. And I like that, and I think that it's also good for a team if you're trying to build this relationship between the newer guys and the older guys, to have these goals made and assisted by both. I think it's going to be really interesting, and I agree with you. I do hope that the toxicity in the locker room is improved by the new guys.
I don't know this for a fact, but I wonder. I feel like Mike Sullivan might get that out of them a little bit. Hope, and JT Miller actually being the captain, because he's been around the block, and he's, you know, There's words I can't say on this podcast, but he's got a bit of a bleep you attitude.
So does Sullivan, though.
Yes. And that's, I think that's good for them.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It will knock them around because I think they were leading the locker room last year instead of the head coach.
Yeah.
Which a lot of that comes with the age in the locker room because these guys think that they, I don't want to say deserve it because it's a weird, but like this is such a weird way to phrase
it. Yeah. But sometimes
because they deserve
just
the respect.
Right. But sometimes you need a head coach who is going to be like, hey, like, get it together. The season was slipping from their hands.
That's
like
what Patrick Waugh does with the Islanders.
That's
it's
why
very similar.
I know he's kind of controversial sometimes. I think he's there. Like, I'm glad he stuck around after the new GM came in. Like,
I think it's a different look in sports than we've had for a long time is the issue. Because a lot of the head coaches that we've had around all leagues, and it's weird for hockey because hockey is one of the more disciplined sports as well as one of the hardest sports to play, is that it's really, really difficult for the head coach to not be hard on the players.
Yeah.
And I think that that has been a shift in all sports now that we're seeing coaches come back that are hard on players. And Sullivan is one of those guys, Patrick Waugh is one of those guys who are coming back and are very hard on their players. But a lot of these guys, the issue is, don't want to play under that kind of regime. Some do, but some don't because they've played their whole lives under a softer system, I guess you could say. And I don't always love to say that because it's always been weird for me to say that because I always don't know which is better when it comes to sports. Because some guys are better under regime and regiment and some guys are better under relax and chill.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say there was talk that Laviolette lost the locker room last year, and that's never.
Oh, there's no way that he didn't.
Yeah, that's not something that's a winning team is never going to have that storyline. But adding a couple things about the Islanders last night, 3-goal third period, which I like to see because the other night, Sunday night against the Flyers, their first preseason game, I was there. They lost the lead in the third period, and then they had to go to overtime, and then they had to go to an 11-round shootout. It was quite bad. It was the first preseason game of the year, and they were already going to an 11. That's double digits. 11-round shootout. The first day, not something you want. They were leading most of that game. But, hey, you know what? I liked this third period from them. They struggle sometimes in the third period, if we're looking at last year. But Kyle Palmieri, the trusty veteran, with the winning goal. And then they had Gleb Vermiev, who's one of their younger guys, 2 goals, including the game tire right before Palms got the winning goal. And he grew up a Rangers fan. So that's kind of nice that he did that at MSG. I think he said post-game, like, the best Christmases were the ones where I got tickets to a Rangers game. So that was cute. That was a cute story. Hoping to see a little more of him this year. And then we also had Marcus Hoberg, who did not start the entire game in net for the Islanders, but he made 5 out of 5 saves in the third period. Loved that. Obviously, preseason, can't put too much on it. We haven't seen Ilya Sorokin yet. And, you know, he's obviously going to be the starting goalie as long as he's healthy. But feeling pretty good after that game. The first two games were not fabulous from the Islanders.
I think it's an admission that they're rebuilding, Grace.
They're definitely not rebuilding.
They're not competing for a playoff
spot.
They
are not looking to win the Stanley Cup this year, as much as they might want to say that. They are not in contention, I fear. And we can talk, you know, if you guys want to talk a little bit about who you think might come out of the Metro or anything, like, we can. But I would say if there's any Islanders fans listening, keep expectations very medium.
I think it's a keep them low, maybe go high.
Interesting.
I think that there's an ability where the Islanders have the chance to get better over the year because, again, young guys mixed with the veterans again.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see, like, Schaefer's not making the team this year.
No, he probably is, actually.
You think he's going to make
the team this year? He's probably going to be on the roster.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how I feel either, because you can't ask an 18-year-old boy who was just drafted to save the team. Like, you just can't. But he also, like, he has looked, we can get into this a little bit, actually. He has looked great alongside Scott Mayfield, who's his defenseman partner. He's looked great. All of the veterans have been extremely complimentary of him. Matt Barzal said he has the potential to be one of the best defensemen in the league, if not the best, in a few years. And that's, like, that's a big statement. I think, obviously, his teammates are going to be supportive. But a lot of them, Anders Lee has said some stuff about that. Like, a lot of them have said really great things about him. So, you know, it makes me happy to hear it. But again, can't put everything on an 18-year-old who was just drafted. Like, it's not, you know, you just can't.
You also can't just put something on one person, because with hockey, there's so many opportunities you can't, to get hurt.
Right. There's so many opportunities. Actually, fantastic segue point here.
Anders Lee.
Because Anders Lee, Islanders captain, has an upper body injury and will miss the next 1 to 2 weeks. Yeah, it's already starting. He did skate on his own Thursday, so that's good. At least it's not bad enough that he can't skate on his own.
It's already starting.
It's literally already starting, guys. But, you know, it's hockey. People get hurt. People come back. Wall hurt, which is usually a bad idea, but hey, they do it anyway.
Happens.
Okay, well, Grace, at least it's happening during the preseason, and it's not happening at the start of the season.
But
positivity here, please.
But my issue.
We only look at positives.
My
at this
issue
podcast.
With him is he's 34. He's getting older. You know, older guys take longer to get back from injuries. I think 1 to 2 weeks. I would be kind of surprised if it's 1 week. That seems really optimistic.
Could be a little longer.
He could miss opening night, which is not great. They can manage. They'll be fine. It's just not ideal because he is on their top line, obviously. And he has looked great with that top line. But, you know, that top line, actually, another segue. We're doing beautifully with the segue so far, guys.
Grace
Excellent
is the expert
job.
Segue.
Oh, I love a segue. Now, before the Lee injury, obviously, Matt Barzal back to playing center, which is his natural position. He was often right wing last year before he got hurt many different times and missed a big chunk of the back half of the season. But they put him back in center. He's on the line with Anders Lee and Kyle Palmieri, three guys who've been around for a long time on the Islanders specifically. But Barzal said, it's like riding a bike. And you know what? That's what I like to hear from my favorite hockey player. It's adorable. I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. I want him to be, because he had a lot of problems last year injury-wise. He was out for most of the year. You don't want that out of a guy who's supposed to be one of your stars. So whatever makes him feel comfortable, I'm all for it. I want him to be at his natural position, unless there's some terrible circumstance where all of the other wingers are hurt and he has to go back there. Obviously, hopefully that doesn't happen. But what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely liked, and you even pointed out, like he said, like riding a bike. I also love the humanity in some players, like when they show that human side, like it's like, because often they make these crazy shots and they're doing these crazy things. And you're like, oh my God, they're like superhuman. How could they ever do this? What the heck? And it's very nice to like hear someone talk about it so plainly and in like such like
common speak.
Yeah.
It's so nice. It's like, I love seeing like the, the human side of players, like not just seeing them in action, but also, yeah, seeing the human side.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know how I feel, but I'm going back. I know we segued all the way back, but the Matt Schaefer starting.
Okay, yeah, we can talk
being,
about it.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm joking. Yeah.
An 18-year-old being, oh, that's a great putt. No, he missed it. Sorry, Ryder Cup is still on. Yeah,
That's fine.
But the Anders Lee. Oh my God, Matt Schaefer. Him starting and coming into the Islanders organization at 18 years old historically isn't a good idea when it comes to hockey. He's really not.
Yeah.
Like, it's only going to ruin him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think if someone gets hit enough, one, as a rookie, two, why doesn't he just go play in the OHL for a year or two?
Because
right now the Islanders don't need him is the issue. Is this like the Islanders are the prep team now? Because that's what it seems like if that's what they're going for.
Yeah, like, okay. The thing about the Islanders is that... And
they make
you
bad
kind,
decisions.
Well, yes. They kind of... You alluded to it before. They're in limbo right now. Because last year, obviously, they did not make the playoffs. They didn't really look like a playoff team for the majority of the year, but they had flashes. They had, you remember that 7-game winning streak in January? Because I was probably being really annoying about it.
I remember.
We went to an Islanders winning game.
We went
to one of them. That was a great game against Columbus. But they showed flashes, and in that stretch, they beat some good teams in that stretch. I think they beat, like, Vegas, Colorado. Those are playoff teams. Like, they weren't beating schmucks, but they've shown flashes where everything can come together. Even amongst, they had a lot of injuries last year, but things can come together. But they're also not really at the they're not going to be anywhere near the top of the Metro. There's a lot of good teams in the Metro.
Let's go through it.
Let's go through it.
Let's go through the Metro.
Please. We have the Washington. Emma is so thrilled that I'm going to talk about
I'm
the Capitals.
I'm so
now.
Thrilled.
Looking
Capitals fan?
Yeah, she's
I didn't
from
even
DC.
Realize that.
Of course. Are you kidding me?
The Capitals, obviously, Alex Ovechkin. I think a lot of it hinges on what he does, but yes. The Devils, I think, are going to be.
We'll talk about
the Devils. We'll talk a little bit about the Devils. Sorry, Tuck. But Devils are up there. Let's see who else.
I mean
the
it.
Rangers,
Caps,
obviously.
The Hurricanes,
Caps,
the Devils, the
Hurricanes,
the Blue
are always
Jackets.
Annoying.
Blue Jackets have potential again.
Yeah.
The Rangers, the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Flyers.
Penguins are not going to be any good. Sorry.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They still do have Sidney. They do have Sidney Crosby.
Still have Sidney Crosby, which means that you're automatically good.
That's the problem with the Penguins is that Sidney Crosby on his own can win them a couple games. So they could very well finish in front of the Islanders, and the Islanders could finish at the bottom of the Metro.
But that's my point.
Right. So that's kind of the issue. But yeah, I'm not.
If all goes right in Madison Square Garden, the Rangers should be top three.
I think that's valid, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take a minute, and I'm going to talk about my favorite thing ever, the Capitals. Sorry, guys. This is a
all
New
good.
York sports podcast.
No, it's fine.
But
everyone talks
to,
about the...
I need to talk about the Caps real quick. And Ovechkin, I think it's going to be very, very, very interesting this season, especially because a lot of people thought that it was going to be his last season, and he came back. And so it's pretty definite. It's not, obviously, nothing's been announced, but it seems like this might actually be the last season.
Yeah.
And I think that the team's really going to try and pull for him and try to do as best as they can to get him in themselves. But I think he needs a memorable last season.
To make a push.
Yeah. So
I think that's the scariest thing when a team has something.
They have something
to
work
play
for. Yeah.
Because when you have a leader to play for or something, because Alex Ovechkin not only is their best player, he's just the leader of the team.
Yeah.
So he's the guy that they're going to be playing under the entire year.
Well, and now with the great chase being over, it's that. And you saw them fall apart, actually. I was talking to Grace about this. You saw them fall apart after that goal was made at the Islanders game that Grace and I actually were so lucky
that
to be able to
that
attend.
That was unfortunately quite magical.
It was magical. you saw them fall apart even in that game against the Islanders, and they lost. Like, that was the only goal made by them that game.
Sorry to interrupt. Mark Gatcombe, 2 goals.
Yeah.
That day.
It was beautiful, actually, for both of us.
It was, it was really beautiful for
me. And the story was not about the Islanders winning.
No, it was not.
I'll always remember
but
who won.
But everybody, we were actually, brief side note, talking about this the other day, and we were talking about how we've never left a stadium or anything where both teams are happy. It
that's
was
true. Because that day.
When will it be that both teams
well,
are happy?
That's the thing.
That was
the majority of the fans at UBS that day obviously were Capitals fans, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Emma and I just happened to get lucky. We bought these tickets in like January for $80 bucks in the lower bowl. And
could have resold them for like $2,000.
Well,
grand.
You know, that's what everyone was telling me, but I was like, no, I kind of want to be. I mean, I knew you wanted to be there, but I was also like, I kind of want to be there. Like, and it was like one of the last home games for the Islanders. I was like, I kind of need to go.
Yeah.
So
one of the last home games where I got to see the Islanders, you know, be eliminated from the playoffs.
Right.
Okay, but they beat the Capitals. So,
yeah,
you know.
True.
That wasn't important that day, Kurt. Yeah. Also, they weren't eliminated yet at that point. Yeah. They could have still snuck in. But anyway. Yeah.
Okay, going back to teams making pushes and working for things. That's what that team was working for last year, was for him to complete the great chase. But now that's over. And with him possibly on his last season.
Like, what comes next?
What comes next? Stanley Cup. Please, for my sanity, please.
I think they're built well enough to win a Stanley Cup this year. I don't think they've really done so much
that
it changes.
That is a great discussion and question.
I fear that the Panthers could do it again.
Well,
although
they probably will.
If Barkov is out, like, that does screw them up a little.
I was going to say that at the beginning of the show.
But they do have so many players that are so good.
Up
that
and down the roster
is
insane.
It's kind of, again, we're going to mix our sports again. Guys, we're just nailing it.
We're all over the place
today. We are all over the place, and that is my favorite kind of podcast, is one that's all over the place. Kind of like and I really hate to say this, kind of like the Los Angeles Dodgers in that it seems
like... I would have taken New York Liberty, but okay.
That's fine. Yeah. That works. You're more well-versed on them than I am, but like kind of feels like they have people pop up, the Panthers.
Well, yeah.
Like,
people just
keep coming. Pop up. You know, people go down, and they're still there. And yeah. They find a way, and that's a great quality to have in a team, find a way. Not really one that I would say the Rangers or Islanders had last year.
It's just having a very well-built minor league system.
But I fear the Panthers. If we're going to look at the entire East, I fear the Panthers a little bit.
It's probably going to be the Canes. It probably will just be the Panthers again.
I feel like it might just be the Panthers. I'm not, like, horrified by any of these other teams if I'm the Panthers. Like, the Hurricanes, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've never... I just don't like them. That's I'm just like,
Yeah, agreed. After they eliminated the Caps from the playoffs, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Happens.
Happens. Getting back to...
Continue.
New York hockey. What we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it was just a really, honestly, it was a really good game by both teams. Like, watching that game, it was really good.
I think it's something that both people can come away with. We've talked about this before, but you can actually come away from that game happy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Rangers fans were as upset that they kind of blew it as many would think, just because they played good enough hockey. And you saw the young guys who have arguably, you haven't seen much of.
Yeah.
Because other than the time when they came up for just a little bit last season. But you saw the young guys come in and start working out just a little bit more. And if you want to talk about something else, like Brennan Hoffman, the guy who has been
impressed 21, by him. Yeah.
2021 pick.
He's a friend.
16th pick.
Friend of the station.
Friend of the station?
Jack Warner, like, interviewed him in Hartford and
really?
At MSG. Yeah.
I did not know that.
So, friend of the station.
I mean, he's having a lot of hate online right now.
Really?
Yeah. You haven't seen, just because of the issues that they've been having, because he hasn't really panned out very much.
Yeah.
I mean, was good his first season in the AHL.
Yeah.
And then right after, sorry, I'm just stumbling over my words.
That's
all right.
Yeah.
Happens.
I mean, he's 22, so I'm like, we got to give this guy a little more time.
But when you're a top pick of this, when you're the 16th pick, again, it's the same thing with the Rangers. When you're the number one pick, you're expected to at least perform well enough where you're not getting injured all the time, one. Two, you're at least expected to be able to come up and play a little bit. Yeah. He's not been able to come up and play where he's looked impressive. And you're not asking a 22-year-old to look so great that, like, but you're asking for flashes. And I think that Rangers fans haven't even seen flashes yet.
Interesting.
Is the issue that I think a lot rides on this, again, 22-year-old.
That's kind of my issue is that, I mean, if we're going to go back to the Rangers last year, the veteran presence was, I mean, Mika was not really serviceable.
He's still there.
I mean, I hope for everybody's sake that he's better this year.
He should have a bounce back
season. I can't really imagine he's that bad again.
He's on the line again.
But obviously, like, you
captain.
Lost Chris Kreider, which I feel like we've almost not talked about that much because of it. I feel like at some point it had to be done. But
Jacob DeGrom on the Mets.
Oh my God.
Kind of just had to happen. I'm sorry. It just kind of did have to happen.
No, it kind of did have to happen. But it's tough. I think they can move past it, but
it's going to take a while.
It might, it stings.
But I think that they can make a playoff push, but I think that
they should absolutely be in the playoffs.
Hoffman, I think, needs more time, but I don't think he's going to be allowed more time. I think that he's going to be persecuted by the fans on social media.
Which is enough. I feel bad. A little bit. You're like I don't feel bad.
When you're under the bright lights, it's just what it is. It happens.
If anyone's wondering when Chris Kreider returns to MSG, it's December 15th. I just looked it up.
That'll be big.
That'll be a big one. That is one where you should have your TV turn that up. But
let's also talk about how the Islanders won at MSG.
It's true, like, they don't
good
do
for
that.
Them.
Doesn't happen
good for
often.
Them. Yeah.
Does not
Does
happen
not
often.
Happen
Certainly
awesome.
Did not happen last year. But, I'm going to point some people out here because Emma very helpfully wrote out the goals from last night. Which
give
actually,
your 3 stars, Grace.
My 3 stars of the game. well, this is a little bit biased because he is also a friend of the station. Alex Jeffries, who was actually just sent back down to Bridgeport today.
Awesome.
But that was expected. I did not expect him to be on the roster opening night. That's fine. He had 2 assists last night. Good stuff from Alex Jeffries, who looked great when I saw him in Bridgeport. He's a very nice guy, so I'd like to shout him out. But yeah, a couple of their prospects here. We talked about Veremiev already, but Chris Terry as well. Well, prospects. He's been on the team for like 5 years almost.
It's been a minute.
It's been a long time, but that's okay. But yeah, seen some good stuff here. Obviously, Kyle Palmieri, kind of someone we can rely on. And I'm glad they still have him. I was kind of expecting them to trade him at the deadline last year, but that happens. I'm glad he's still around because I love him, but it happens. But we could turn it to the Devils a little bit. They're 1-1 thus far in the preseason. They'll play the Islanders tonight at UBS. I don't know if one of us will be there. Not me. Maybe Tucker.
Let's check the staff assignments.
But the big thing with them, well, actually, 2 big things with them, I would say. Seamus Casey making his preseason debut tonight following his injury, which has kept him out of the first couple. He did well last year, and he didn't play in a ton of games. I think it was about 15 games, and he made an appearance in the playoffs.
Doesn't seem like anyone's going to that game.
Okay, there
happens.
You go. But he made an appearance in the playoffs, and it's perfectly good, and it's good to have him back. And then I think the biggest thing on Devils fans' minds is Luke Hughes right now. They are, quote, pretty far apart on contract negotiations. Not great. If you're a Devils fan, not what you want to hear exactly. They're focused, from what I've read, focused on long-term extension, but cannot come to an agreement on the number. So, Kurt, what do you think?
I think for one, that's the guy that many Devils fans really hold as their favorite player,
mm-hmm.
and the guy that they hang their hat on for a majority of it. And I think that Luke Hughes would be a benefit to come back to the Devils as well, because they need to make the playoff push, and he anchors their defense.
Yes.
I think the issue is the money thing is going to be a little difficult because of also the money thing is going to be difficult just because of the cap. And the other issues with that. So I think the hard part is that you have to figure out the middle ground with the player.
Mm-hmm.
He's young. Again, he wants to have this money. I mean, it's the way that you kind of weigh how good you are in the league is by being paid the most.
Right.
Or being paid a little bit more than the other guy. So that's what he wants, because that shows value, and that his good seasons have shown that. But it would not be in the Devil's benefit to lose him.
What do you think, Emma?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm not well-versed on the Devils, but not as much as the Islanders, Rangers, I should say. But it is interesting that the Islanders are going back-to-back on the New York, New Jersey area. I think it's interesting for fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we'll see what happens, because they lost on Tuesday to the Devils. So.
Did. Now, you know, before you guys are like, Grace, the Islanders lost 6-2 to the Devils, that's awful. Yes, normally I would say that, but an important thing to remember, the Devils played a lot of their regular players who we're going to see, and the Islanders didn't. Played a lot of prospects, it was prospect heavy. Kind of like how I found it on Sunday against the Flyers, which was also a loss. So, fine. I'm past it already. But that was Luke's brother Jack Hughes' first appearance in a game since his injury in March, obviously caused him to miss the playoffs. But that was at least a nice boost for the Devils. Whatever's going on with Luke Hughes, and actually, a point that was brought up last week on 5-on-3, Dougie Hamilton, trade rumors circling with him. So you don't really want to lose 2 of your defensemen.
Not at all.
That's not great.
Not a good look.
Not a great look for a team that has aspirations
I think
to make it
of,
to the Eastern, at least the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know if they will, but
they're in a odd spot.
Yeah.
Very weird spot.
Because I think they should make the playoffs, but I don't know if they're going to make a lot of noise there. I don't know if they face Carolina again. yeah, not going to pick them to win that one. Even the Caps, we have to see what happens. This is obviously all only from three preseason games.
They're kind of in a black hole right now, but you never know.
We're kind of in limbo right now because I feel like we can't really pick much.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, given that it's preseason, yeah. Like there's so, like, there's so much variation. Again, as you said, like, even can be seen in the Devils-Islanders game,
mm-hmm.
Where the Devils played their regulars and the Islanders played their prospects. It's like there's so much variation, and you're really not going to be able to tell where each team is going to be able to go for sure until the beginning of the season. So it's just a matter of looking at, I mean, I guess the prospects and seeing who could possibly be brought up to a spot in the regular season. Yeah,
actually, one more point on Dougie Hamilton. He addressed the trade rumors. He said, let's see, I'm just reading about this now, actually. But one point in here, his full no-movement clause switched to a 10-team no-trade list this summer. And, obviously, as we just said, his team is still not signed Luke Hughes. But he said, I try not to see anything, but obviously people talk around you. I've been part of it for a lot of years in my career. I've been traded twice and been on a few teams, so I control what I can and do my best. Now, pretty standard talking point from a player who might be on the trade block is, I hear it, I try to block it out. It's kind of what doesn't really tell us much, but he has 3 years left on this contract. He said, I want to stay here, want to win the Stanley Cup here, as obviously they almost all say, but he's, for the Devils, he's 32. He's has not been who they wanted him to be. And Coach Sheldon Keefe said, daily challenge and opportunity to unlock his defenseman's potential. I would say if someone called it a challenge to unlock my potential, I'd not love hearing that.
Be a little unhappy about that.
I wouldn't love it. I think Sheldon Keefe, like, not, this is not to say that he shouldn't have said that. I, you know, sometimes you gotta say it, but not something I would like to hear if I'm saying, I want to stay in New Jersey, and then the coach says, yeah, we've been trying really hard to unlock his potential, but it's hard.
It's been difficult.
Basically what he said. And then a little further from Sheldon Keefe, Dougie's a guy who has been in the league a long time, but I think he's just got so much more to give, and it's my job, along with assistant coach Bradshaw, who we brought in here, to try to bring that out of him and find a greater level of consistency to utilize what he has. Okay. Like, he thinks he has potential. It's just a question of, like, do you get it out of him before he goes elsewhere?
We need to get his potential out is a little iffy.
You know, sometimes we see it so often in all sports. Sometimes a player just needs to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
It happens everywhere.
It just is.
In every sport.
New scene can help a lot.
I mean, not, again, we're going to mix our sports here.
Gotta mix them
around. I think you might know what I'm going to say here. Daniel Jones.
Yep. Goat Jones.
He's suddenly 3-0 with the Colts. But
Indiana Jones.
Indiana, they're calling him Indiana Jones.
All I was told is that he was bad. But
I was told he was bad. I did.
I knew
in
he
fact
was good.
Believe it, but
I knew he was good.
A lot of the time, you need a change of scenery. It's not. Sometimes you have to keep pressing or stop keeping pressing for it to work out in one place, and just kind of.
Well, and sometimes like there are different like circumstances. Like there, you're never gonna just have a player get better on their own. Like they need the support of their team and of their coach and all of that. They need that support. But as well, like, you also don't know if the coach or the team is going to prioritize that player. So it is good sometimes to go somewhere else because where you are going to be prioritized, and then you're going to get better because you're being prioritized. So it's all just dependent on circumstances.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's totally dependent on where he is. But overall, from a team standpoint for the Devils, you don't want to lose two defensemen.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's not great. Even if, again, if Dougie Hamilton, they think, still hasn't unlocked his potential, still don't want to lose him.
Well, you also don't want to be talking like that about potentially, like, someone who could save you. Like, that's
like,
kind of crazy.
That is just not... It's not great. I'm not saying he shouldn't have said that because, like, sometimes, again, you just got. It's just the truth of the matter. But it's
when you give digs at the players, they're not gonna. Also, other players see that. and know that the organization.
And that was basically, I feel like to me that was like he could go elsewhere this season.
Yeah.
And it would not shock anybody. I don't think it would shock anybody.
No.
At all. But you know what? Tonight we have Devils at Islanders, and then we have on Monday Rangers at Islanders. I'll be there. Sophia Smith will be there as well. And then I believe we have one more preseason game for each team.
And then we're off to regular season hockey.
And then we're off, and it's going to be
And then we're almost
spectacular.
Done with
spectacular. And then life is worth living
and
again.
And then really, like, the sun starts shining again.
The sun starts shining.
Out.
Even as
it's
starts
cold,
setting earlier,
nice
the
chill.
Sun starts shining again.
The sun is shining. There's a little breeze in the air.
Need the breeze. Need the breeze back.
And we're so back. But, one more mention for the Islanders, Max Ciplikov, who was their standout rookie last year, took a maintenance day Wednesday, and he's now day-to-day. So again, I say it's already starting, but you know what? We'll have to see. Day-to-day is not always the worst thing ever. He'll probably be fine.
It's preseason.
We still got a couple weeks. It's fine. I'm not going to freak out yet.
Let's calm down.
But I think that'll just about do it for this week's edition of 5-on-3 presented by WFUV Sports. We will see you guys next week with a little more puck talk. Thanks for listening.